Everyone gets angry sometime. There's no one in this room today that cannot say that they are angered at someone somewhere in their life. That includes even the most pious of among us here today. Now, the funny thing about anger is that it challenges us and it often skews some of our perspective. So today I'm here as part of our message is to actually tell you that, I don't know if you know, but that every Christian who gets the passage that we are going to cover today has a secret superpower. Think about this. Imagine you have the capacity to return a blessing whenever you are insulted, whenever there was an opportunity in which you were offended. How amazing would it be to know that even in this passage that we are going to cover here today, is that this is the very thing that Jesus is teaching us. So let us just pay attention to what we are focusing on today, which is on the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus is now going to deal with the first of the series of six examples of his interpretation and of the law over the Pharisees and all the religious leaders of the time. Now, here is the thing that I want us to pause into. When we talk about anger and what Jesus is going to deal with us here today, Jesus is about to draw a sharp contrast between the kingdom standard in comparison to a world standard. Now, for us to, in this process today, to really get there is the opportunity to dig into this space, there is a bit of a catch. And the passage today is going to lean itself and we'll explain that. But the first, there's a couple of processes in this passage. The first one is that we are challenged to surrender into this moment. What I mean is we're going to see how Jesus is going to deal with a complex matter in a way that is beyond what is just written in the Word. So one of the great things that we are required today, and that's going to be our first point, is we need to allow the Holy Spirit to get under our skin to really understand what Jesus is teaching here when we talk about what Jesus is talking about, murder. So when he talks about it, he also is taking us on a process to say that there is always more room than what there was before. So let's just get into this. I wanted to really, to me today, is when we talk about this, is really getting to what Jesus is teaching us, because it was completely different to what the world in which he was teaching was accepting that as well. The passage we have in the first verse is, "You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, you shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or a sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or a sister, Raca, is answerable to the court, and anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell." This is quite an astonishing passage, and you might think, wow, why would we want to deal, or why would Jesus want to deal with murder at a time such as this? But there is actually so much more, and Jesus is about to, in this whole series where he sits on a mount and he's teaching, he is telling us what a kingdom identity looks like. He is sharing with his disciples what it means to take the law that God has given them, and remember they had over 600, so they were well aware of what the demands of the law was, and he is rephrasing that and saying that the law as we are is not about the letter of the law, but the spirit of the law. Now, here is an interesting fact, is how the leaders of that time was able to justify themselves to believe that they were able to keep the Ten Commandments completely. Virtually all they did was they reduced the whole teaching that Exodus taught us to say, you shall not murder. They combined it with a teaching in Numbers where they said that if you go and you murder, you may be in fear of judgment. And as they combined it, they were saying that if you murder, you are in danger of judgment. And what they were in fact saying, and this is what Jesus' point was, and he points, what he was saying is that you are missing the whole point. Because what they were saying is then, well, if I don't murder, then box tick, I completely fulfill the expectations of this law. And in doing so, they reduced this just to an action of saying, if I keep a natural law of not murdering, then I am all good. And Jesus, and that's what I love about Jesus and the Sermon on the Mount, he always exposes and he wants to get under our skin and to show us that there is more to this. And so this is why our first point is talking about getting under our skin. Because he then went on to say, he was saying that it's not about murder. But he was saying here that anyone who is angry with a brother or a sister, anyone who is angry with, and that is so important here. You see, when you talk about anger and all those things, it's so easy. I mean, think about this. I judge you according to your behavior, but myself according to my intention. And what Jesus was telling them and helping people to realize is that when you look at the law, it's not about the physical action of murder, it is actually the anger that drives and sits behind it. I mean, Cain and Abel is a typical example in all, every time you speak about this message. But I believe it is more than anger, because we are not just about behavior modification. Jesus did not want to teach people and say, if you want to get into the kingdom of God, all you need to do is modify your behavior. Look at the rich young ruler, look at Paul before his conversion. In his mind, he was fulfilling the law. And yet when he met Jesus, he realized that in his heart, he was not complying. So we are about spiritual formation, but not behavior modification. So in this process, this whole passage, so often we think about is Jesus is not dealing with anger. It is dealing with conflict. Now, when you deal with conflict, inadvertently you have to deal with anger. And when you are dealing with this, you have to weigh and figure out why the way we deal with anger. Now, in this moment, think about this. How do you deal with anger is different than your spouse, is different than your kids, is different between all kinds of siblings, right? And here we have this. I look at this and as a way that that we have to then process and go, what is anger? Because if we deal with conflict, the way we deal with it is determined by the way we are dealing with our anger and understanding that. And what I have seen in this space and experienced in my own life is that when you start to slow down and you pay attention and allowing the Holy Spirit to get under your skin, to deal with anger is not to fight anger. I mean, I tried for years and years to fight anger within me. And it was like fighting with a runaway dinosaur. It was just trampling. When that dinosaur was agitated, nothing stops it. And what I love about the way Jesus is going deeper in this moment is that he is showing us how, if we are slowing down enough and allowing the Holy Spirit to penetrate our hearts, and we are growing an awareness of how anger is merely a secondary emotion that actually expresses something deeper in our heart. So when you look at anger and when you take offense to something that someone has said, because it's all about judgment, right? So if you have anger, it's because someone has done you wrong or you perceive a threat. I mean, the simplest example is if someone cuts in front of me in the traffic, then someone has done me wrong. And the way I respond to that in that way tells how we are responding to a right or a wrong. And here we have that, where Jesus is actually teaching us. He said, under that expression of anger, and this is something that what I see Jesus is teaching is his disciples, is instead of fighting anger, or it's almost as good as trying to put a balloon under the water and think it will stay under. It'll pop up somewhere. What he is teaching his disciples is that if you understand that anger as a secondary emotion that is driven underneath that, there is fear, there is anxiety, or in my case, embarrassment. See, often if I get angry, I'm a loud, angry person. You will know that I'm angry. So I'm also talking to the pious, quiet, angry persons. Your anger and my anger are equally, you know, can be equally challenging. But it's the process that we get beyond that. If we, instead of arguing with anger, if we could embrace the process of understanding the emotion that comes out and realizing that there's a deeper driver, one of the greatest things in my journey towards the awareness of the presence of God was to actually slow down and process not only why am I angry, but what fuels that. And when I started to realize, but hang on, I hate to be embarrassed, or I get incredibly anxious, or I can feel helpless, it allowed me to appreciate and focus. But one of the things that Jesus actually took me deeper was to say, I just didn't trust God enough. And that was the deepest penetrating point where Christ enabled me through the Holy Spirit to start building up into and buying in and growing into the superpower of not taking offense to what people are saying. So the first point that Jesus is teaching us is that the greatest gift of the gospel is to be present with people. And when we are able to recognize the superpower of preventing any offense to penetrate the walls of our heart, we are able to return whatever persecution, whatever hardship, whatever offense someone has done against us, turn it into a blessing and return it in a way to recognize that with compassion. See, one of the tools that Jesus is giving us in this passage is as we grow awareness of that, it becomes like a dashboard light. Whenever now I recognize anger in my heart, immediately it's like a red light going off like in your car, and it means that I have to slow down and pay attention. In the past, I would have argued the case. I would have proven myself right regardless. And right now, it has become a process which I embrace that and to help me focus, to reconcile myself, whether it's to my spouse or my kids or anyone around in that space. But Jesus, the way Jesus always says, he always goes a little bit deeper. I love the first part. He says, in your anger, if you've got anger with someone else, this is the way, this is the tools to be present with that and restore and be reconciled. But then he goes to the second point, and this is really getting hard. And the second point, if the first one was to get under your skin, the second point Jesus is making, it's not about you. He's going on, verse 23 and 24. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and listen to this, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to them, and then come and offer your gift. How many of you have come to church, and as you drive in, remembered someone's name, and immediately stopped, gave them a call and went back? That's pretty much what the text is saying. Now, can I just start here? Because the Holy Spirit is dealing with reconciliation. And this is really, if we understand our kingdom perspective, if we understand what it means to be a disciple of Jesus, to live out of the Beatitudes, to be a blessing, the challenging part here, and I'll share with how challenging it was to me personally, is that we have to figure out how the Holy Spirit works. The Holy Spirit never dumps a bucket of names in your list. If ever there's guilt, if ever there's shame in this process, I tell you, don't even go a second further. Process and call the name of Jesus, because the character of God is never associated with guilt or shame or any other of those emotions. And so one of the things, the way I have experienced, and this is just recently as I prepared this, he would drop a name in your heart. And what is happening is, what it says there is, listen to this, they remember. So as you're at the altar and say their name drops in your mind, like there's someone's name. And it was a name that just dropped in my heart as I prepared for this. And I'm like, you know how you prepare for a message and then God says, okay, you'll be the practical example. And you go, oh, I just want to preach it. Well, honestly, when that name dropped in my heart, I'm like, no, I don't want to do that. But I did make a call. The person didn't answer. But God was not about the outcomes. He wanted to see. It was like a test. Are you willing to go out of your way to be reconciled? If you recognize, and this is the other part of that, whether you're right or wrong, if you can recognize the hurt that you are causing someone with being unreconciled, and if you bring that right back, is that if I am aware that something in a relationship is not in place, how can I wholeheartedly serve God in worship? And this is what God's saying. What he wants is, if you've got that in the back of your mind, you allowing the adversary, the enemy, to penetrate your heart. And when it penetrates your heart, it will also penetrate your mind. It will steal your joy. It will actually deepen your capacity for offense rather than standing against that. So I have to also put in a little bit of an asterisk here, because for some of us, the people that has caused, like that we have caused pain in the past or stuff, it is not practically possible or even safe to be reconciled. So don't hear me say, so sometimes we don't, Jesus didn't, it's not that it's an absolute that you physically have to drop and go. It is working towards reconciliation. And sometimes in that moment is find someone that you trust and say, this is what I feel. Can you pray? Can you process? Can we work? Can we take steps towards reconciliation? This is always Jesus' heart. He is not, again, remember, he's not about behavior. He didn't want you to go tick a box. He wants you to take steps towards that. And one last thing in this mind is, stop having mental arguments. I don't know. I think you all do it. I used to do it. You know how you are having these mental conversations in your head. And you know what is the one funny characteristics of that? I always win the argument when it's in my head. But I find it often just fuels my fear. It puts it out of context. And by the time I have a conversation with the person, it hampers my reconciliation, because in my mind, the other person was already laying over and asking for my asking for my forgiveness, regardless of the right and the wrong. This leads me into my third point, which talks about the third section. And this is where how Jesus goes deeper. Then he first talks about when you get angered by what someone else did. Then he turns it around. He talks about when you remember the hurt you have caused someone. And remember, whether it's cause, whether it's true or not, it doesn't matter. It's you remember that moment, you've got their name. But now he talks about who is settling your case. Verse 25 onwards says, settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still together on the way, or your adversary may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown in prison. Truly, I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. What is Jesus saying? Well, before I get to that, let me tell you what my dad used to say. He was a psychologist, and he always said, there are three sides to the story. Your side, my side, and the truth. A kingdom mindset, what Jesus is teaching his disciples, is the awareness that in this case, it's not about whether I'm right or I'm wrong. It is about settling a matter before you give the opportunity to your adversary, which is the enemy, which is the god of the world, of Satan, an opportunity to grow and divide us relationally. Here is a challenge. Or have you thought about this? Let me put it this way. Whenever you are in the right, you are never 100% in the right. And when you are in wrong, you are never 100% in the wrong. So what I think Jesus is saying, and that's what I've been practicing in my whole life, as we grow into the awareness of the presence of God in our life, is to own my part. Imagine you have an argument with someone, and imagine I have done you 20% wrong. Own your 20%, 100%. Here is the amazing grace of the gospel. Jesus already owned 100% of every ounce of wrong in your life, my life, the worst of the worst, the best of the best, a king or a servant. And Isaiah 53 said, he was unoffendable. He did not speak back. He did not reply. He took it to the cross. He was sacrificed. He died. He rose. And in that victory, he now gives you the authority to participate in this kingdom perspective. He gives you the ability and access to a secret power to be unoffendable. You are able to process these, whatever comes around in what you feel, whether it's feeling angry or this, and you are able to return every attack, every offense in a blessing. It raises your compassion. It raises your peace. I can go on, but I want to lead you in a prayer that's helped me to allow the Holy Spirit with explicit permission to show me in what areas of my heart I was driven by anger and unwilling to be transformed. Can you just pause for a second and just, I want you to just close your eyes for a moment and just hear these words. And I have been praying this prayer countless times. And I can imagine that's what Jesus wanted. He said this, he said, the Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. Search me, God, and know my heart. Just sit with that for a second. Search me. It is signing a permission slip. It is authorizing the Holy Spirit access to what is unseen, not just the physical. The second is, test me and know my anxious thoughts. Can you see the emotion? Anxious. He speaks to the primary emotion. Even before you get to anger, know my anxious, know my helpless thoughts, know my embarrassed thoughts, know every thought that I have that is generated in my heart and my mind. Test me in that. Now, your sparkies would know you've got a thing and you plug it in and you test whether there's power. And you are allowing the Holy Spirit to do that. And here's where it gets personal. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. I do want to warn you that when you give permission to the Holy Spirit, it is a challenge. And he will show you, he will grow and make you aware of things in your heart, in your mind that you never even fathomed. But I do want you to know, and always test this, he does so with grace, with love, and mercy. In close, how amazing is to know that when Jesus was talking and say, he was talking about murder, he wasn't just talking about murder. He was talking about us having the ability to have a superpower in which we can return whatever offense there is in the world. He was guiding us to know that we can protect every layer of our heart to be impenetrable by the enemy's attack to take offense, so that in all things we can be present with him every step of the way into eternity. And in doing so, become disciple makers of love, of mercy, that is echoed in the Beatitudes. I pray God's amazing grace over each one of you this week as you go on your way in this journey. Amen.